KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, 30 degrees, and we look forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high around 40. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In Southwest Iowa news, the Creston Police Department reports this morning three recent arrests. Early this morning, 29-year-old Shane White of Creston was arrested on charges of driving while suspended and OWI second offense. White was later released on $2,000 bond. On Wednesday, Creston police arrested 52-year-old Troy McKinney and 30-year-old John Van Scoy, both of Creston. McKinney was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on two Union County warrants for failure to appear in court on an original driving while suspended charge. He was later released on $600 bond. Van Scoy was arrested for driving while suspended, and he was subsequently released on $300 bond. The Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce introduced their 2016 campaign, Explore, Discover, and Share, at their annual dinner last weekend. The campaign will kick off in April and will focus on attractions and businesses throughout Cass County. Officials say the Explore, Discover, and Share campaign will encourage residents and visitors to explore local businesses and attractions to discover something new. The goal of the campaign is to raise awareness for all the great businesses, interesting history, and exciting experiences available in Atlantic and Cass County. Chamber officials say community members and visitors that share their photos and experiences will be a part of the Explorer Challenge contest and will be eligible to win prizes throughout the campaign. People will submit their photos and experiences of designated places on www.atlanticiowa.com to be entered into the contest, and those photos will be shared on social media. Chamber businesses and attractions that purchase sponsorships will be part of a campaign and each receive a Explore, Discover, and Share sign or decal to designate them as a participant. Everyone has a story to tell and something to share, and the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce hopes to have an endless list of businesses and attractions participate. The success of the campaign will be determined by the amount of overall support and excitement within the chamber membership and community. Severe winter weather has left blood supplies for many hospitals at critically low levels. Katie Marshall, a spokesperson for the Midwest region of the Red Cross, says there's an emergency need for blood donors.
What we're seeing at this point is that the blood that's coming in is going out to hospitals just as quickly as donors can come in and give it.
Blood supplies were already low at the start of the year because of the usual slowdown in donations around the holidays, but supplies have been further depleted by winter storms. A handful of blood drives in Iowa are among the more than 300 blood drives that have been canceled across 20 states since January 1st.
Many blood drives have been canceled for days on end, so that really takes a toll on the whole blood supply nationwide.
Blood supplies have been especially hit hard by the weekend blizzard that struck the East Coast, but wintry weather in Iowa has also resulted in delayed donation drives.
But we have had to cancel some because we cannot get to certain rural communities if ice hits on a certain day or there's just a little bit too much snow. So we've definitely had cancellations already this year, and those are among the 300 blood drives nationwide that we've had to cancel since January 1st.
Blood donation appointments can be scheduled by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. Legislation has been introduced in the Iowa legislature that would allow terminally ill people to end their lives with drugs prescribed by a doctor. Bills in both the Senate and House would allow a terminally ill but mentally capable person to self-administer medication that ends his or her life. Supporters of the legislation spoke Wednesday at the Capitol. The legislation mirrors a law in Oregon and a handful of other states that have passed similar measures. It would allow doctors and healthcare institutions to opt out. It's unclear how much support the bill would get in the Republican-controlled House. Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City who helped sponsor one of the bills, says the legislation focuses on the dying individual, not on the family or medical insurer. A report that makes recommendations on how Iowa should handle its Medicaid program under private care also highlights confusion over how recipients will be able to voice complaints. Deanna Klingon-Fisher is a state long-term care ombudsman, a position designed to help respond to complaints from people who receive long-term care in Iowa. Klingon-Fisher spoke to lawmakers Wednesday about a report released in December that recommends an independent system for overseeing such complaints from Medicaid recipients. Iowa is scheduled to turn over its $4.2 billion Medicaid program to three private companies on March 1st. The report makes recommendations like adding representatives who assist Medicaid recipients with challenges to claims or services. Lawmakers in the Senate Human Resources Committee expressed concern that such an independent system won't be in place by March 1st. Postpartum depression strikes about one in every eight women within about 6 months of having a baby, but University of Iowa researchers say the rate may be higher for women veterans. Dr. Michael O'Hara, professor in the U of I's Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences, is working with the Veterans Administration on a program to help women veterans suffering from postpartum depression, especially those in the rural area.
Many of them have been exposed to combat situations or have been in war zones or might have experienced some sexual or physical abuse while they're in the military. And these kinds of exposures to kind of traumatic events are associated with higher rates of depression.
U of I is now working with about 40 women veterans through an online pilot program that involves six sessions over 6 weeks targeting mood management.
The Mom Mood Booster program is basically focusing on helping women who are experiencing postpartum depression to increase their participation in positive events, to manage their negative mood and cognitions. It focuses on the partner relationship and the woman's relationship with the baby.
Some symptoms of postpartum depression may include low moods, loss of interest in normally enjoyable activities, insomnia, appetite disturbances, difficulty concentrating, and suicidal thoughts. So far, he says the Mom Mood Booster Program is having a positive impact.
We support it with what we call phone coaches. These are staff members who contact the women veterans every week and provide support and encouragement, answer questions, and just generally help to keep them motivated to go through the program.
O'Hara's own experiences in the military may help him relate to some of the pressures women veterans are dealing with, as he served 4.5 years in the Navy during the Vietnam era.
Certainly, there weren't nearly as many women in the service back in those days, but I certainly knew many women, and they had lots of difficult experiences, and it does make a difference being a veteran myself, and it's part of my motivation to reaching out to the VA to do work with veteran women. It feels like I can give back a little bit.
Women in rural areas often don't seek out or have access to mental health care, so O'Hara says reaching out to rural veteran women is important. The program will run through September, and then the VA will determine whether to continue funding. A liberal advocacy group is calling on the presidential candidates to talk more about affordable child care during their stops in Iowa. The group Progress Iowa sponsored a news conference that included Neera Tanden, president of the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
The reality is, in a time where wages are pretty stuck for most families, the rising cost of childcare is really contributing to the squeeze families are facing. For the average American family with an infant and a toddler, childcare costs nearly $18,000 every year. Let me say that again. $18,000 every year, which amounts to nearly a third of average income for those families.
Tandon says high quality child care can cost a family the same amount each month as a mortgage payment. And then you add in other costs such as transportation, food, and utilities.
And it's that kind of squeeze that I think a lot of families are facing and are a bit contributing to the kind of debate we're having on national issues right now.
Tannen says her organization is a think tank that commissioned a poll which showed 70% of likely caucus goers in Iowa believe child care is too expensive and out of reach for working families. She says our country is way behind others on the issue.
In American families, 65% of children under age 6 have both parents in the workforce, right? This is a reality. This is what's happening. And yet, we do very little as a country to help those families struggling those costs. We have really no national child care policy that makes it possible for most families to afford child care.
Former U.S. Senator Tom Harkin also spoke at the event.
Child care is completely out of reach for too many American families. And for too many children of low income, it means their growth and their development is stunted from the start.
Harkin, a Democrat who retired last year, says the issue should be getting more attention from the candidates looking for caucus votes. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.